Wow. You usually make me nervous. I just really get nervous. Oh, you're a lot of fun. Tracy's a lot of fun. Good to have true joy, isn't it? Can you tell she doesn't make that up? Isn't that awesome? All natural. Wow. Got a lot of stuff on my heart. I'm like, I think, you know, whenever I share, I don't mean to be like corrective or anything. I think it just turns out that way, but it's not hard to take, right? Like people that know me. Yeah, just because I feel like it's going to be that way a little tonight, but it's going to be helpful and adjusting. I can just feel that. So it's fitting that Tracy got up here and got y'all giggly and bubbly so I can just come up with this. Like the sword will just go in easier. It'll just. So don't fight it. Don't fight the sword. Amen. No. Look, Roy got up here and he said something about the things you're going through. Don't let what you're going through decide who you are. Or how you're doing. And there's a reason for that, guys. Like even we just had heard a comment say, you know, they're in these tense times. Who knows that there's certain challenges right now? You got the COVID thing, which people are still trying to figure out and always asking, hey, what's your take on that? And you know, my take's the same on everything. You're alive for one reason. And we stayed there tonight a long time. He said, I'm going back to the light, to the light, to the light. Your life for one reason. Amen. Your life to shine. Your life to shine. And in shining, you're going to do people right. And you're not going to do people wrong. And you're not going to get offended. And you're not going to live in unforgiveness. And you're not going to feel sorry for yourself and stay discouraged for things. You're going to walk in the light. As he's in the light. All I'm defining is Christianity. It's what he paid for. And it's why he put his life on the inside of us. I mean, I'm a little emotional in this season because I feel like, and I'm not forecasting negative, bad things. I feel like we've barely been tested by the things we're going through. In a personal way. We've been inconvenienced. It's been a bummer. Canceling trips and not being able to gather, right? Inconvenienced. You see the news and the riots and the things, but I don't know. Nobody burned my house down, but somebody's got burned. And so there's challenges on the earth, but it could be a lot worse. It could be a lot more things going on. One out of five could be dying. How would you handle that? You see what I'm saying? So I understand, but here's the reason that we preach these things. Because you've got to stay fixed on purpose. You can't lose sight. Obviously, this is easy to say. You can't lose sight of who he is and him. But take it a step further because he's all about redeeming our lives. He's all about making us free. We're talking about it. We're singing about it. You're the name of this place, Redemption House. He's all about redeeming, making new, restoring. Yeah? So it's not just about who he is. It's about what he wants to do in us and through us. It's about who we are in him. So it's one thing to honor him and worship him for the glory of who he is, not making light of that at all. That would be ludicrous to make light of that. He's the Lord. But what a relationship that we have with him and what a connection. And he's never lost sight of us, guys. He's never given up. He's never changed his mind. He's stuck to the plan. Yeah? So let's make sure we stick to the plan. Let's make sure we don't get heavy-hearted and fear-driven and discouraged, self-centered, self-focused, full of anxiety, worrying about tomorrow when today has enough of its own. Come on, that's your scripture. Just be really sure that you stay fixed on who he is and why he's in you and who you are now that he's here. Are you with me? Because if not, you'll take something personal and it won't be this truth. It'll be something that's passing away, something that won't be here in the end. You're going to take something trivial and let it be personal. When I say trivial, I'm not saying it wasn't a challenge. I'm not, man, I heard of several people that passed when I got here. People that lost loved ones, siblings, parent. I heard several passing as soon as I came. Even in death, there's life in him. Like, watch this. When people pass, purpose is still the same. Not making light of people passing. There's a physical loss. There's a time of sorrow. But purpose is the same. When does the reason he's in you change? Because of your circumstance in the moment. You've got to let that truth take you through everything. Or you're going to live sentimental, emotional driven, and in the wisdom of man. And you won't shine. And if you're not shining, then you have no impact. You can't reproduce. And you've lost purpose. I hear this a lot. I'm not being mean. Thanks for making them giggle early. Well, I'm just going through a hard season. Well, I'm just going through a tough time. It's like, cut me a break. Give me time. I'm just going through it, brother. You don't even want that mentality in your life because you'll be going through it all the time because things will matter more than what really matters. Are y'all with me? This doesn't feel hard, right? No, I always feel like I'm correcting and I'm like, duh, I just want to get up here and be like Tracy for 10 minutes. I don't know how. I have a lot of joy in my life. But you lose a loved one, there's physical loss. We're not denying that. But there's eternal truth that we're living towards. We're not just living for this day. We're living for that day. So if you lose sight of that, you won't have faith. You won't live in faith. Faith, there's no faith. If there's no vision like that, if there's no purpose, if there's no perspective to take you past the moment, how will you get through the moment? The moment will decide you. Come on. And that's why people stay stuck in their happenings. So their circumstances decide them continually. So their story, how you doing? Well, it's been hard. You know, I just went through and you know, 2 weeks ago. And did you hear about... And all of a sudden, all these things are locating you and deciding you. And every day you wake up, you're living from there instead of living from him. It's deceptive. It's the wisdom of the world. It's not the truth. It's not the gospel. Jesus never lived that way. You can look and follow his life. He never let none of that stuff decide who he was and how he was. He was always in tune. Yeah? He didn't let one thing change who he was and why he was here. And I'll tell you what, you look at Jesus's life, you think you've been through it? You ain't never been perfect and got killed for it. You ain't never been flawless and continually criticized as if you were wrong. You've never been always right and treated like you never were. Nothing but good. And they treated him like he was the worst. They killed him. For not even being of the Lord, being the total opposite. They killed him like he was the devil, not a son of God. A blasphemer. And all he ever spoke was truth. You go through that for a week. Try and mess your heart up if you don't stay fixed on truth. Because if you continue in the truth, you'll see it and it'll keep you free. You know, I get real. I've been a friend to this house. I've been here long enough. I can talk really plain, right? Amen. If you just let what I'm talking about, just let it that much in your life, just that much of a mentality that gives you an excuse or an out or something outside of what I'm saying with passion, you'll just have all these dips and valleys, and you'll be kind of buying time that you don't have to buy. Like, it's not your time anyway. It's all life in Him. You be honest with me. Be honest with me. Let's take a survey. Be honest with me. Who's been caught feeling sorry for yourself and you had it justified, so you stayed there because it all added up? Why? And you had justified it. Who's been in that since they've been saved? Okay. You see how many folks that is? All right. Now that I set y'all up, don't ever do that again. Seriously, don't ever do that again. So I can talk to the room freely. Because that was the room. You were honest. Thanks for being honest. But don't ever do that again. How can you die to yourself and be sorry for yourself? How can you say you're living to Him and be sorry for yourself? It's because human reasoning taught us that. The wisdom of the world trained us. He didn't. The wisdom of the world did. And then we get tricked into bringing Him into our life instead of Him becoming our life. And if you're just saved to get blessing, protection, provision in heaven someday, you're going to walk in all these mistakes we're talking about. If the only reason you come to Him is for what you can get from Him, you'll never walk in who He is. Be honest with me. How can we deny ourselves? Pick up our cross. That means suffering for things you didn't deserve or earn. Did He deserve the cross? But He died on it, didn't He? He didn't even say a word. How about you carry yours? And don't let what men say, don't let what men do, don't let what men don't do decide who you are and how you are, because you're a believer. And you've given up what was never yours, your life, because it was always His life in you from the beginning. And the Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not the song you sing to Him. Ooh, the glory. See, He knows I'm not mocking Him. So don't get offended by that. It's not the song you sing. The Christ in you is the hope of glory. Because if all you're looking for is a touch of the glory through the song you sing, where's that glory when you're done wrong? Where's that glory when you're cheated? Where's that glory when your spouse doesn't say the right thing, let alone do the right thing? And if you're letting one person decide who you are and how you are, and it ain't Jesus, you're being tricked and deceived. Y'all with me? Yeah. I'm glad you had us all giggling. It just goes better. It's just like butter. Oh. It's just, oh. They're so easy. You should see them. They're sitting ducks. They're just, oh. You see in the spirit right now, there's blood just pouring out of people's chests. They don't even know it. They just, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Split wide open. No, this is, come on. I'm not talking in riddles. It's got to give everything to Him. You don't have the privilege to have a hard heart when you're a Christian. It's totally unscriptural. It actually says that unbelief is an evil and wicked heart. It's a thing that's not even permissible, unbelief. And some of us get tricked into just trying to believe he loves us. Instead of just going, he has to. Or he'd have never came. And my circumstances don't have anything to do with his love. It's what he created me for, who he created me to be, and that love has never failed, and he has never changed, and Christ has died on the cross and took everything I was and put it on him so that I can take everything he is and get it in me. Freedom. That sounds like freedom. And then he says through the cross, love you. It's all I've ever had on my end. Love you. Let me prove it. It's not your circumstances. It's not who did you wrong. Well, I thought God loved me. Well, why did he let? Well, how come? It's amazing how we get tricked into the wrong questions because we get self-focused, self-centered, and feel sorry for ourselves. And then your mind starts justifying and you build a case for where you're at, but where you're at doesn't look like him or produce him. You do not need permission to stay outside of him. Cut it off. Throw it away. It's always a lie. I need to find a reason why I can shine in the face of the adversity. Don't let your heart get hard in this room, please. You guard your heart. You guard your heart with diligence. Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Don't give anyone that kind of permission and power in your life unless he's King Jesus. And he ain't never going to do you wrong. Yeah? Come on. I've met way too many good-hearted, sincere Christians that are something else because of something else. You with me? It's Freedom Fest. I'm preaching freedom. This is freedom. You can sing you're free all day long. Somebody do you wrong and you lose control. You ain't free. You keep singing all you want. Singing it don't make you it. Yielding yourself to him and becoming everything he paid for. That's not too harsh, right? I haven't even preached in a room like this for a while. The sword just feels big. Oh, wow. You guys good? So last week, this past Sunday, I was in my home church. I pop in there every once in a great while. Did you get it? Good. Got it. Thought I heard it scream. It's the only time you don't raise something from the dead. Just leave it dead. I don't think you did. That's the first time I was ever preaching. Somebody got up and just stomped a bug. That's amazing. That's freedom. He just walked over and went, that was a serious stomp, too, buddy. In case you didn't know what he did, he stomped a bug. It was coming right towards his wife. And he sat down and said, love you, honey. I was in my home church and we were singing and it was just intimate, just singing how amazing he was, and this word started coming in me and I was like, oh, because I'm away all the time, and when I come back they're gracious and they love me, and pastor's like, you want to share or you want to say this or you want to lead this, and I'm like, no, just flow, man. I'm just going to sit and enjoy. And I was like, uh-oh, there ain't no way out of this. I could just feel the Lord, the word. And I don't know when I trembled so bad sharing the word. I could hardly walk back to my seat. My whole body was trembling. But it was the Lord giving a caution to the people. And I felt like in my heart it was for the whole world. You know, but we were in the small room of Harvest Chapel church gathering. But I didn't feel like it was just for us. I felt like it was for the whole church community, you know. But it was a word. I'm not going to try to prophesy it out like I did that day. But I would fit in if I would do that, because then I couldn't hardly walk back to my seat. And I'd look like at least a few of you. No, this word was so serious. It was like, not to be deceived, that people are never your enemy. Flesh and blood is never, ever your enemy. Ever. And in this season, don't be deceived. With all the riots going on, the unfortunate thing that happened to the gentleman up in Minnesota, all the stuff that's going on, the virus, all the challenges, presidential race right around the corner, all the seemingly division, if you just barely look, you see it in this country. And it's not time to take sides, even if you have certain beliefs and you are on a certain side. When I say take sides, you don't make the other side the enemy. People aren't the enemy. People were bought with the blood. People were paid for through Jesus. You're not supposed to have anger towards people that you don't agree with. You're supposed to have compassion. And if you lose compassion, if you're just so caught up in politics that you have enemies out there and you can't stand to see that person's face on the news when they pop up, and that goes, and you just assume like, and you start getting sarcastic and you have little names for people and stuff, you're in trouble. Like, you're not walking as close to Jesus as you think. I'm not saying you don't go to church and serve in ministry or have a title. But you don't know him like you could. Because he ain't like that to no one. And better yet, he was never like that to you. Or you wouldn't be sitting here filled with his spirit. You'd have ticked him off by now. He'd have ran out of gas. He'd have give up patience. And he'd have smote you. It's the truth. It's so self-righteous and it's so arrogant to take your beliefs and what you believe, even in politics. I've watched people. I don't know why politics is the most challenging area for some, but I've watched people lose their heart getting involved in politics. And it's not wrong to follow. It's not wrong. Certainly pray. But don't you let your heart get hard because of what's going on. Don't you be on this side and say, yeah, but. And don't you be on this side saying, yeah, but. One of the biggest things that I felt in my heart when this word went out was to not be deceived. The Lord said, people are not your enemy. Your war is not flesh and blood. People are not, he said it twice, people are not your enemy. Your enemies are deception and unbelief. That's what the word said in my heart. Your enemy is deception and unbelief. Because if you're living in deception, you're blind. And if you're blind, you can't see. And if you can't see, you can't lead. Does the blind lead the blind? No, they'll fall in a ditch. Scripture. Paul preached the gospel to make all see. It says, seeing Jesus, right? Often finish of our faith, we've got to see him. looking unto Jesus. It says in Hebrews 2, we don't see everything in subjection under our feet, but we see Jesus. Not against worship. Are you kidding me? He's not talking sing Jesus. Not against worship, but he's not talking sing Jesus. Talking see Jesus. There's a huge difference. You can sing about the Lord all day long, but he paid a price for you to know him and make him known. Period. Period. And what a privilege. That's not a burden. That's not a heavy responsibility. That's a privilege, an honor. That's humbling. That's a gift. That Christ would live in me. That Jesus looked at you and said, I want to live there. And I'll pay whatever price to move in. And maybe ain't nobody even sees that house. Nobody ever seen it fit to be a house. But when I move in, everybody would want to live there. Ain't that something? See? And if you don't even see yourself that way, don't think that's humility. If you don't see yourself that way, that's deception. That's false humility because he sees you that way. I'm not talking about presumption and pride. I'm just talking about believing. I'm just talking about believing that my life is worth the blood to him. That's not blasphemy. Just believing he forgave me of everything I've ever done. So there ain't no looking back. Why? I'm not Lot's wife. I'm his bride. I'm not looking back. Why? Because there's nothing back there. I was delivered from there. I got a destiny. So if I look back, I'll never get where I'm going. I'll be in the middle and I'll be Lot's wife, but I'm his bride. That's deception. Yeah? You know how many people tricked looking back? You could be sitting in this room right here tonight and say, yeah, but... Yeah, but you don't know how it was, man. And sometimes I still, and I don't know. I get feeling so bad because, and well, then that's why you slip in again. It's a crazy thing. It's a crazy thing. You fix your eyes on it and then you weigh yourself accordingly. So that's how you see yourself. So that's how you do. One of the biggest components of freedom and deliverance is not come out in Jesus' name. It's seeing who you are in him and believing what he paid for and letting the cross raise the value of your life, period. Where you actually believe you're a house fit for a king. That he swept you clean and moved on the inside. Yeah? There's no room. There's no room in the inn. Mary's, she's ready to have this baby. They can't even find a room there. The place is jammed full. So they go into this manger. In those days, they think it might have been a tunneled out thing in a rock somewhere in a cave type setting and dingy and manure and animals. Ain't nobody. You know why there was room there? Ain't nobody even have thought of being there. Till he was there. And then they just flocked the place. Kings came from afar and stood there. People came and shepherds got an announcement in a field. And yeah, and nobody wanted to be there. And nobody even noticed. You said, well, nobody ever noticed me. Well, nobody. Well, my life never amounted to nothing. That's because he wasn't there. Why do you keep weighing yourself as if he's not there? Why do you value yourself as if you're not worth it? Did he not shed his blood? Did he not die on the cross? Did he not raise from the dead? Who are you and why would you say you're not worth it when he said what? Yes, you are. Come on, this isn't arrogance. It's not blasphemy. It's the truth that makes men free. It's not about where you've been. It's about where he's been. And when you realize where you've been is a lie and you go, okay, should have never been there. Ain't never going back. He sees my life as more than this and it's time I do too. Amen. Yeah? Wonder if every Christian would get hardcore and just say, you know what? I'm done with unforgiveness. And if it tries to rise up, I'm going to challenge it and I'm going to smash it every time. I'm done with disheartenedness and discouragement and just sluggard, just ho-hum, whatever. I'm just done with it. Why? Because he's in me. Because he paid a price to live in me. I'm done with nitpicking. He said, she said, and hearsay, and what? And she did, he did what? Wonder if every Christian just start living by faith. Come on. Yeah. And say it don't matter about none of that. Yeah, what matters is that I keep my eyes on him. And he's in me, and the Christ that's in me is the hope of glory. Come on, glory isn't just a mist. It's not a feeling. It's not a hope. Glory is any manifest attribute of God. It's the glory of God. Anything about him that's realized and seen and made known is the glory of God revealed. And the Christ in you and the Christ in me is the hope of God being seen and known and recognized. And the enemy's trap is to make it all about you and how you feel and how you don't feel and who did and who didn't and who said and who didn't and what. And it. That's the trap of the enemy. And make it all about something it ain't about. And yet we sing about what it's all about, but we live from another place. And then that light thing ain't happening like it could. Yeah? I like that. You said, we're going back there. I ain't done. You went, you looped. You started like, I think you broke out in an old hymn. You sang one line. You said, we're going back to the light. I can't stop. It's still in me. Wonder if every day you held your own heart accountable. Wonder if you were your best accountability partner. Yeah. Wonder if you weren't hurt because somebody in leadership didn't. Yeah, come on. Wonder if you had your own relationship with Jesus. Hey, wonder if you held your own heart accountable. Wonder if you were your own best friend for a day. Yeah. And that turned into 2 days. And that turned into a month. And all of a sudden, a year later, you actually look in the mirror and love who you're becoming. And you don't need nobody to call you and tell you anything sweet. And tell you how important you are and how much we missed you last week. One of you just looked in the mirror and said, oh. What? Woo! One of you were just a believer for a day. And didn't let anything matter more than just believing why he came and what he paid for and who you are now that he's here. Wonder if every blast from the past, every fantasy, every vision, every memory, every dream that was yesterday and dirt digging and trying to pull you back, wonder if it just fell off of you because you were just a believer for that day. And you say, it doesn't even matter where I've been. It matters where he's been. I ain't fighting this. I'm fighting a good fight of faith. My fight isn't my memory. My fight isn't the past. My fight isn't feelings. My fight is a good fight of faith. My fight is in the midst of all these things trying to deceive me to keep my eyes on what it's really all about. That's what I'm about. That's my fight. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to keep believing when everything says there ain't much to believe. Wonder if you get in the right fight. Wonder if you stop fighting the things that don't matter. So many people fighting the devil, fighting the devil, fighting the devil. Why are you fighting the devil? He's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. I'm not saying he don't have teeth. I'm not saying he can't hurt, but he only hurts people that don't see who they are in him, the Lord. Really? He's opportunist. He'll take what you give him. And he feeds on deception. You give him an inch, he'll try to take a mile. And then you frighten him and rebuking him when truth's your weapon. You can yell at the devil all day if you don't believe different. He's eating your lunch. But I've been pleading the blood all day. Yeah, and you're tired and you're weary and you feel unspiritual and you're questioning the gospel. Wonder why it ain't working. It's not a method. It's an identity. It's not 30-day money-back guarantee, 60-day try me, see if you like me. It ain't get your money back. Why would you pick back up your life? Come on, it's even exchange. I heard communion in my heart tonight. They found him too. You found him. He said you might know where the stash is. They didn't think they had enough. He said, well, we better ask Tracy because she tends to. She might know where the gold mine is. You found it. Because it's covenant. It's covenant. It's all that is mine is yours. And all that is yours is mine. It's a marriage. It's a covenant. It's an exchange. I vow to never leave you or forsake you. Right? That's what God's saying to you. And you say, man, I'm just going to fix my eyes on you. And I'm going to believe every day. And in the face of adversity, I'm following hard after you. God, I want to know you more. And he makes vows and promises. And you give yourself, it's like a wedding. It's like a husband and a wife. It's like when they renewed their vows. Who was here when we did their wedding vows and renewal? Wasn't that powerful and awesome? That was really awesome. The only challenging part was I had to wear a suit the whole night for you guys. I laid down my life. Felt all comfortable. It's covenant. Watch, watch. He gave his life for us and to us. It's not so you just get blessed and get all your prayers answered and have enough money. This isn't a, he's not a genie in a bottle. He's not your servant. He's your father. Jesus is our Lord. That means the governing factor of our life. So watch. He said, it's covenant. He said, I'm giving my life. That's the bread and the cup. How come all we ever take it for is the benefit? We receive communion for the benefit, for the forgiveness, for the healing. We're just always receiving communion for the benefit. What about the exchange? What about your life and my life to you? What about I'll shed my blood for you? What about I'll give my body to you? I'm not giving it to some one-night stand. I gave it to you. I'm not getting lonely and emotional and I need a fix. No. I have more value than that, and so does other people. I'm not going to use somebody to fill something that ain't going to work. You got to get hardcore with yourself. You got to be your own best friend for a day. And you'll like it and you'll say, wow, I wish I'd have met you sooner. You've been looking for a best friend. He's been in your skin the whole time. You need to be your own best friend for a day and you'll like it. And it'll turn into 2 days and a week and a month. And 10 years later, you'll be passionate and freaking out and telling people that he's good. Yeah. Woo. But this thing is more than bless me. This is more than pay my bills. This is more than protect me and keep my family safe. It's amazing what we turn Jesus into. That's why Christians are discouraged a lot. That's why they're mad at God and say, well, we just got this thing right now and it ain't happening and we're just working it out. You ain't working nothing out. You're deceived. Ain't nothing to work out. He already came out in the light. He's no turning or shifting a shadow. You're the one thinking wrong. People say, well, I can't wait till I get to heaven. I got a couple things I need to ask the Lord. You got the wrong impression, friend. You think a trumpet's going to blow and announce your name in a loudspeaker and the doors are going to open by themselves and you're going to come walking in with your three eternal questions? You're already going to be blown away by the light and in the whole truth, and you're going to be going, duh. You'll be going, man, how come I didn't see that when I was on the earth? Because you didn't look. You believed what you were believing. You didn't look. You believed your feelings. And when you look at what your feelings are producing, you can tell if you're in the Lord or not. If you look at your attitude and look what it's producing, you can tell if it's truth or not. Look at your emotional makeup, your motivation. Look at purpose in your life. And if it ain't producing life and shining light, you're not seeing clear. You're giving yourself to the wrong thing. Come on, be your own best friend. I don't ever have titles on a sermon, but that would be a good sermon title. Be your own best friend. Everybody looking for a friend. You got a friend in Jesus and he's in you. I think you have enough to dominate. I think Christ in you is a majority. But unless you understand the power of this thing right here, and we'll receive this in a minute if you want to. You won't have to. I don't want anybody to go through the motions. It's dangerous to do this and just go through the motions. The Bible says it's dangerous to just do this because we're all doing it. Because what you do is you lull your heart to sleep and you harden your heart and you callous yourself. And all of a sudden you get religious and traditional and you just go through the motion and you catch the moment or you whatever. But this thing is an exchange. It's your life for mine and my life for yours. Jesus never said, pray this prayer and you can go to heaven. That's how we evangelize. Jesus said, if you come after me, you got to do something. You got to die to yourself first. You ain't following me unless you die to yourself. You can sing to me. You can serve me. You can go on a mission trip. You can feed the poor. But unless you die to yourself, you're not going to follow me. You can serve me. You can sing to me. You can be an elder. You can be a pastor. You can be a worship leader. But unless you die to yourself, you'll never follow me. Because you won't make it through the injustice. You won't make it through the news. You won't make it through the presidential race. Your heart will get marked and marred. And you won't come out of it like him. And when you stand before Pilate, you might justify and defend and tell your story instead of keep it before him. Oh. You need to preach? Grab a mic. Come on, it's true. You stand before Pilate. Listen, whenever you defend yourself, you actually give the right for men to be your judge. That's why Jesus never said a word. Because he already knew the deceit in their heart. He knew they'd take what he said and twist it and use it against him. And there's times where you don't have to say a word. You just commit yourself to him who judges righteous. Now watch this. If you don't have a relationship with him, if you're not pursuing him and you don't understand you're right in his sight, why would you commit yourself to the one that sees you righteous if you don't even see yourself that way? Are you with me? Come on, this is amazing. This is amazing. He said, as often as you do it. I'm not saying who, but I'm telling you it would behoove, benefit many of us in this room to just take this on a regular basis for a while and just stay focused. Just stay focused. Wake up in the morning and say, hey, I found a best friend. It's you and me. I don't need a phone call from Tracy today. It would be sweet. It would be nice. And I'll be doing good if she calls. But if she don't call, I'm doing good. I don't feel for, I don't feel forsaken by Pastor David because, you know, he didn't call or whatever. Or he didn't get back to my email. It's been 4 days. I wonder, he probably read it. I guess he's too busy. Next thing you know, you got some thing, some seed, some some leaven. Man, you receive this every day. Keep you on purpose. Don't just don't take it. Just don't receive it to receive your healing. That's part of communion. That's a piece of communion. But I'll tell you what this represents. Exchange of lives. And it's not preached enough. This is eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And if any man come after me, let him deny himself, pick up. You see? So to be a Christian, you're doing the same. Him to you, you to him. Now we're one. And you know what we teach? Benefit and blessing. Instead of death and surrender. Follow me. He didn't say sing to me. Follow me. He didn't say pray to me when things are tight. Follow me. I saw you guys, but I just focused on you. Hi. You all good? Called Freedom Fest. You think about the things you're hearing tonight that are pouring out of my heart. None of this planned, none of this prepared. It's pouring out my heart. I told Pastor David, I said, man, I see communion, but I'm not sure why, because I never see a service ahead of time. I said, it'll just make sense at some point. But you think about Freedom Fest and singing Freedom Reigns, or we were talking about it, and you think about everything that we're saying tonight in the Holy Ghost. Do you hear the freedom? Watch. The biggest freedom we're proclaiming is you living for you. You're free from yourself. That's where all the trouble is. Doesn't he know that? Why do you think it's the first thing you got to do? Is deny yourself, because it's the biggest problem on the planet. You living for you when you're made for his image. When you're made for his glory, when you're made to walk in the light as he's in the light. How can you walk in the light as he's in the light when it's all about you? You're going to get hurt. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get discouraged. And you might even find yourself tricked enough to be mad at God for a season. You might lose a loved one and just give up. And let your relationship be contingent on your circumstances, which means you never had a relationship. You had a servant. And he didn't keep things well, you just fire him. He ain't doing his job, he's cut off. He's not your servant, he's not a genie in a bottle. He's the Lord of all. He's the Father of all creation. He's really, really smart. Like the Bible says, he makes foolish the wisdom of men. That the foolishness of God, whatever that even means, is wiser than men's wisdom. And we really think we're smart. People got it all rational. They're writing books why God ain't real and why the word ain't the word and men are so smart. And one day, it's going to be a big oops. One day, sky's going to open. He's going to be coming on a horse. There's going to be a whole lot of folks right behind him. And the whole world's going to go, wow. Any believer knows that in here. Prove that, brother. I already did to myself. I got caught hanging out with him. And my heart went, because what you see. Do I have to believe that he is? Any man that comes to God must first believe that he. But do you have to keep believing that he is? Or do you know it? Done deal. Why do you think we act this way for years? Because we're good actors? Because we see something. Yeah. You know. And this is eternal life, that you might not receive him, not ask him into your heart, not pray to go to heaven, not get plugged into a word preaching church, not read your Bible every day. Eternal life is that you might. And all those things are cool things we do in knowing him. Yeah? But eternal life isn't a prayer you pray. Eternal life is in knowing him. It's a relationship you have. So if he's the eternal one and he lives in you, no wonder we'll never die. Because he'll never leave you or forsake you. No one will snatch you out of the palm of his. So why do we walk in some other direction? Only because we don't know him like we could. And if we don't know him like we could, we'll never see ourselves for who we really are. And we'll still be stereotyped and labeled for who we've been. And then the lie continues, but you try to keep going to church. But the lie continues, and you keep trying to go to church because you think your answer is staying plugged in. You all right?
Yeah.
How do we get these to everybody? Just do it real simple. Can I have somebody just... Ushers, elders, can we get one of those in everybody's hand that wants to receive communion? You don't have to receive communion because it's a communion night or something. This is all spontaneous anyway. These things are challenging for some. Take the little lip that you peel back the juice. Bend it down over the plastic first, and the little plastic sleeve should pop up. All right? When you've received these like every day for months on end, you learn how to do it. At least you'd be frustrated receiving communion. Can't get in it. If you bend that little lip down over the plastic this way, the opposite way, the little sleeve should pop up. Then you get that. That'll get you your little wafer or whatever it is.
How to open your communion by
hand. Yeah. The new YouTube viral video. Wow. That man does have wisdom. He knows how to get into the communion cup. Anybody ever fight with these things for a long time trying to get that wafer? And you think, oh, well, I'll just drink the blood. I'll take the wafer by faith. I wonder how many cups went into garbage and that wafer was still under there, just sticking. Somebody should paint a little smiley face on it. Can't get to it. You just bend that little flap down and it should pop up. Who found that to work for? Did it work? Did it work? Isn't that wisdom? Aren't you glad you came tonight? If you just got that one thing, you're doing good. Nobody ever taught you how to do that before. I know that's the first.
That is true.
When I learned how to do it, I just kept it to myself. I just realized I'm preaching all this selfless stuff. The selfless thing's all on me, brother. I thought, I need to pass this wisdom on and bless the body of Christ. We still passing them out? Let me know. Does everybody have one that wants one? Everybody have one that wants one? If you don't have one, raise your hand, wave your hand, stand up, scream, act like Tracy. Do something to be know that you don't have one. Yeah, there's only one, Tracy. I shouldn't have said act like Tracy. You can't. You had your husband nervous tonight.
I did.
I never said. He was leaning against me. He was like, she is really fired up tonight. He said, oh my God. He was like, what's going to happen next? I wasn't even thinking I was getting up here to preach. I thought you were going to have the worship team up. I thought we'd be marching or something for an hour. It just started feeling like something else might be happening here. You're a lot of fun. I always mess with her. You always see, I tell her not to touch me. Did you see I told her to go that way? I love her. I just tell her to not hug me when she's like that. That's more wisdom. Put that on YouTube. I used to tease the intercessors at church when I was full-time pastor. I had some intercessor ladies that were amazing, and they heard the Lord. And some people, you know, because they heard the Lord, they said things. They just think they were wild things, or, oh, you didn't have that experience. So they think they were this, that, the other, and I just loved them. But I used to have fun with all of them because they'd get harassed like they're a certain thing or something. And I'd say, man, keep praying, keep interceding, just don't touch me. Or they'd say, Pastor, guess what I heard? I said, stay back. Talk to me from there. I did it all the time. I'd say, just talk to me. Oh, Pastor. No, stay there. Talk to me from there. And I'd stay like social distance. So I was doing social distancing a long time ago before anybody even. Y'all got this? Does anybody know what this is? Are you sure this isn't plastic? What is this? This little rice wafer? This is manna. What is it? What is it? This is truly manna. You know that's what manna means, right? That's what is it? Manna. Because nobody really knows what they've been putting in their mouth for a long time. Nobody really does know. But we're all okay. So we're just going to go by faith tonight. This is manna. But guess what this represents? The body of Jesus. Now, this is a big deal. Here's what I want you to do tonight. You know, I want you to see this. You can just stay in chill mode for a second. Be ready. I just want to do this real quick. I also delivered to you. Are we on? Am I cutting it? Or is that just that one time? Jesus.
He's really allergic to the handheld.
No, I mean, I'll do the handheld if I go. Oh.
Help him, Jesus. Bring deliverance. Yeah. All right.
It'll work the rest of the weekend. Hey, let's just try this one more time. I don't know. That laying that there feels like unbelief. Put that over there. Where you handheld guys sit. That feels like unbelief to me. That felt like the virus. Somebody want to wipe that down right there for me? Wipe that down. You want to wipe that down? See? If I'd have let you lay that there, this thing would have been cut off a long time ago, buddy. Well, that felt like unbelief to me. I say, we ain't gonna do backup. Plan B. Sorry, David. I'm not slamming you, but... Well, kind of, no. Are you all ready? For I received from the Lord. Isn't that amazing that Paul got this from Jesus? And when he writes about it, you find it exactly written this way by the disciples that wrote Gospels. Isn't that amazing? He didn't say, I read Apostle so-and-so's account. He said, the Lord laid it out just like this for me. He talks like he was there. Isn't it amazing you could have that kind of relationship that you can know things as if you were there? Yeah. That the men that were there and wrote about it, he wrote the same thing in a separate account, not because he read their book, because the Lord said this is the way it was. That's relationship. Get alone with him. Talk to him. Ask him questions. Believe you're worthy. Believe he loves you. please know you're forgiven and live forgiven so you continue to walk in righteousness. Why? Because righteousness produces its fruit to holiness, and all of a sudden you're living a way you never could conquer. Why? Because you're believing. Come on, it's a true statistical fact that almost every addictive behavioral cycle, no matter if it's substance, whatever it is attached to a low esteem or an unhealthy identity. It's people not seeing themselves in high regard, so they live up to the low level in which they evaluate themselves. And then when they comply to that low level, they prove to themselves that what they believe is true because of their actions. And that's called the cycle of condemnation. You with me? And because you care inside, and because you're alive inside, and even alive in the Lord, this lie devastates you more because you should know better, you should do better, and if you were really saved, you shouldn't, if you really love God, you wouldn't, so you beat yourself up all the more because you care. Yep. And do what you said you'd never do. It's all attached to confused identity, value, and esteem. Good with that? Well, a lot of people go back to the same thing. Same thing, because they see themselves as such. Wonder if every day you wake up and you took off the old garment and you threw it and you put on something new. You put on a new robe of righteousness. You put on wedding clothes. I wonder if you just wake up every day and take this cup and bread and you put on Christ. I wonder if every day you commune with God and thank Him for the gift today called life, that you're going to live it for that day, and you ain't going to let nothing around you matter more than why you're alive and what matters most. I wonder if you got aggressive. You got aggressive and you just walked in that every day. Instead of letting things sneak up and wonder if you got aggressive and nothing could sneak up, because you were in the light. And the light exposes darkness. And the darkness flees. Wonder if you lived every day to see so you weren't blind. And nothing snuck up on you again. And all of a sudden bought 2 weeks that you didn't have for sale. All of a sudden, they bought 4 months that were never up for sale. All of a sudden, 3 years slips by. And you go, I just don't know how I got here. You with me? Yeah. Oh. Man, I'm glad we're here. I'm just glad we're together. It feels happy to be together. Doesn't it? Yay. He said, I received this from the Lord. It was delivered to me from the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed. Your Bible says that on purpose. On the night He was betrayed, it's on purpose that it happened then, that this supper happened then, because this supper is a sign that I'm giving my life. He didn't say, that's the last straw. Judas, are you kidding me? I thought he was one of us. Them Pharisees, how many miracles did they see right in Jerusalem in the last week? He rode in on the donkey. Hosanna, woohoo! He did many miracles, days. Blind eyes, all kind of. How many miracles did they see in the last week and they're still plotting to kill me? Man, if they didn't change by now, they ain't never going to change, and I'll be doggone. That's a holy way to say it, I guess. I'll be doggone if I'm going to give my life for these men. Hello? But see, he don't know how to talk like that. He don't know how to think like that. Why? Because he's Jesus. No, because he's love. Because he's love. Yeah. He doesn't have that language. He's not on the cross. I just can't believe they're doing this to me. He's on the cross just thinking about them. Man, if they really saw, if they really knew who I was, Father, would you forgive them? They're blind. They don't know what they're doing. Ain't that something? Fireworks? Yeah. Celebrating my preaching. That's the Holy Ghost. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. You heard it out there, didn't you? Shoo, preaching on the love of God. Boom, 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 boom. Come on, you think about it. He said, follow me. That's what he's talking about. Carry your cross. Not, well, you don't know what they put me through. Well, you don't know how long, brother. Well, how long is a guy supposed to? Well, I ain't going to be nobody's doormat. Well, you ain't going to walk all over me and get away. Where did you learn that language? Because I never heard it from him. So you didn't learn it from him. Where'd you learn it? Why are you so sure it's right if it didn't come from him? You never heard it from him, so where'd you get it? If you didn't get it from him, where'd it come from? And if it didn't come from him, why would you give your life to it? You see what I'm talking about? Believing, getting intense, being your own best friend, being your best accountability partner, holding yourself accountable instead of needing Billy to call you every day to make sure you read your Bible. Just read your Bible. Why? Because I'm a believer and I want to know him. I'm not reading it to qualify. The blood already did that. I'm not reading it to be accepted. Jesus already accepted me. I'm reading to know him. Because eternal life is knowing him. And I don't just want to go to Redemption House. I want to know him. And when I go there, I got something to bring. Not something to need. Yeah. Every pastor likes that part. Yeah. Who knows, these guys will lay down their life to help people. Y'all figured that out by now? That's because that's compassion in the heart of God. But there's a point where every person needs to realize that's not the function. It's not like, okay, I'm always in this position and I always need this. No, you grow up into him in all things. And there might be a time you came here and were totally dependent on unconditional love, compassion, and patience. But at the same time, you need to understand that you're growing up and out of those things. Because of the Christ that's in me. And I'm not an eternal ministry. Because I'm growing into a minister. Now who knows, they ain't going to judge you. If you're in a spot for a while, they're going to tell you who you are. And do it in patience. And might even have to shake themselves behind the scene and say, oh Lord, they need to get it. And not be angry at you. Just, oh, why don't you get it? You ever feel that way? I've ministered to the same thing to people in a personal way. People I've took time and time. And you just want them to get it. You're like, oh, Lord, I just want them to see it. Because if they just go, and isn't that why you just keep going? Because they might just go, oh, if the light just comes on. Ding, 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 ding. Woo! That's the three bells, baby. Yeah. Ding, we got it. For 2 years, you've been pulling that lever. Cherry, apple, bell. Bell, cherry, apple. Cherry, cherry, bell. Cha-ching! Ain't that awesome? This is really good preaching. This is my first time preaching for a long time in front of a bunch of folks. I've been... I got a lot of calls to do that live stream stuff. I'm so sorry to everybody that I'm not more technical. I don't know why. I should get over it. It's people should come and do live stream. And I'm like, I like this. I like looking in your eyes. I need to get over it. There's nothing wrong with live stream. It's an amazing tool, but I just feel weird talking to a camera. I don't even know if I preach as good, but I like this. You can tell I like this. I'm stretching this out too, ain't I? 9:21. I'm at Redemption House. No, I'll be all right. Don't get scared. If you're visiting, don't say, oh, dear Jesus. And don't leave either, because we'll see you. Leave. I'll say, they left before communion? I won't. I'm messing with you. But don't leave. When he had given thanks, look, on the night he was betrayed, he gave his life. You have to ask yourself, what am I on the night I'm betrayed? See, this is how you follow Jesus. You got to always pass these tests. You always got to take the barometer test. You got to just say, okay, on a night I'm betrayed, what am I? Am I feeling sorry for myself? Am I crying? Am I calling a friend and telling them all the details to pull them sentimentally into my pain so they have a justification and a strength to be there? Yeah. Woo! I hope you followed that. Oh, that was so good. That's freedom. On the night you're betrayed, you got to say, what am I on the night I'm betrayed? Angry, frustrated, can't believe they did that. Wake up the next day and it's the first thing on your mind and you can't get past it. Heart all bottled up. She's leaving. She can't handle the message. You just can't handle, but that's all right. I trust you're going to go get it straight, girl. You're just going to get it right. We lost Tracy. Because she's going to go deal with herself on what she's like on the night she's betrayed. David looked at her and said, what are you on the night you're betrayed? She got up and just took off and ran. She's going to go seek the Lord. I love that. I don't miss that stuff, man. When I'm reading on the same night in which he was betrayed, he knows what's coming. He knows that the men that he's passing this to are going to run as soon as he struck. They're going to scatter. The shepherd's going to get struck and they're going to scatter. Now, they're all sitting there saying they're going to die for him. He already knows they're all going to run, be afraid. Peter's going to deny him. He knows all that. So on the night he's betrayed, he says, what a good night to lay down my life and exercise selfless. And show you what it looks like in extreme circumstances to love not your own life unto death. Doesn't scripture tell you to love not your own life unto death? That's what it looks like. That on the night you're betrayed, you're still laying down your life for people. No matter how bad you disagree with the political situation and you're watching the news, you don't turn off the channel with a hard heart, and you don't go to bed angry, murmuring, and make a cynical phrase and throw somebody's name in that you disagree with. Did you notice that worldly comedians, secular comedians, it's always at the expense of people, and people sit and laugh as they demean others? That's not comedy. That's tragedy. You with me? on the night he was betrayed. He took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body. It's broken for you. Do this. Did she say that? Do this in remembrance of who? Okay, so what's Jesus, what's the number one main thing he's trying to get across in this communion? Is it our healing? Is it just our forgiveness? It's the giving of his life in the face of it all and not changing his mind, having no options but to be who he is because he's love. And he said, I want you to remember this. They don't even know what they're doing. But after he raises from the dead, comes and hangs out with him and stuff, it all clicked. You get it? The light came on. And all of a sudden they're gone. Remember how it says Jesus came back at this and that? And you'll see places in your Bible and it says, and they remembered the scripture which he spake. And they remember, and then the lights were coming on all the time. They're going, that's why he said that. Whoa. Oh, that's why. Whoa. Revelation moments all the time. Yeah. Don't you have them in your life? Haven't you had revelation moments where it's like, yeah, right? Yep. Okay, so what he wants you to do? Do this in remembrance of me. I would like to propose something tonight in communion, that we do this in a covenant-minded way, not a beneficial way. You can always do it to receive what he paid for, redemption, forgiveness, righteousness. It's huge. It's fun. It's amazing. But I want to focus on the component of communion that's rarely talked about and seems left out all the time. Where it's your body, my body. Your blood, my blood. You love not your own life unto death, and I love not my own life unto death. Here's how we overcome, and it ain't a song. This is how we overcome. We sang it. I get it. But guess how we overcome? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, not loving our own lives unto death. Watch. You want to make a draw on the blood? You want to make a draw on the power of the testimony? It's hinged on not loving your own life unto death. That's where the power of those two are. Without the third, those two aren't the same, even though they're amazing and powerful, but they hinge on selfless. It's not like, you know, you have a concealed weapon and you get robbed in an alley and the blood and the testimony is your weapon and you go pull it out without the selfless. You can plead the blood all day and you can quote the word all day. And be selfish in your marriage and think your husband or your wife is the problem. And you could be doing spiritual looking things from the wrong place and God's doing nothing in the midst. You hear me? What's that? That was a good sword, huh? Good. It's like butter, baby. Just let it go in. You guys take it good, man. Let's do this tonight in covenant-minded way. It's like a vow to him. It's like, okay, you're never going to leave me or forsake me, and nobody's going to snatch me from the palm of your hand. Well, then I'm going to love you with my life, my attitude, my motives. I'm going to keep purpose in front of me. And I'm not going to sell cheap or sell out because I'm not for sale. I've been bought with a price, and I'm not my own. You hear scripture? Do we need any more scripture? Or do we have enough? It says that he died and rose again so that we who were dead might live, and those who live ought to no longer, 2 Corinthians 5, no longer live for themselves, but for him who died. You get it? So I want you, don't just follow my lead. I want you personally right now, whatever this means to you with where I'm at and where I'm preaching, where you are, to just look at this bread as his body given and think about the conditions, the injustice, the unfairness of the night, The 3 years of ministry, trapping him, trying to trap him, and then never really caring and always asking questions with ill intention. And Jesus never changed. He kept loving, he kept shining, and he kept manifesting the Father. And in the midst of all that, he said, when you see me, you have already seen the Father. Don't you want that in your life? That when people see you, they got a real good look at him. And don't you let nobody say, well, yeah, but that's blasphemy. He's Jesus. Who do you think you are? You're just a worm. You're in the flesh. You're this and that. You're always going to sin. You're always going to... Don't you let somebody steal the power of righteousness from your life. He rules his kingdom with the scepter of righteousness. And if he's going to come and touch you on the shoulder and you're going to kneel before him and he'll touch you like that with that righteousness and touch you like that. Don't you let anybody take what he says you are. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So take this bread right now and you just make a covenant vow with him. You might just say this tonight because it'll make sense to you. You might say, you know what? I just found a new best friend tonight and I'm going to hold myself accountable and follow you, Jesus. I'm not just coming to Redemption House. I'm not just going to sing along. I'm not just going to worship like a wild person and mean it. I'm going to live like a person in love with you. I'm going to follow you in every facet of life. The best I understand, and Holy Spirit, I appreciate your help. But I'm all in. And the way you gave your body, that's what this is, guys. The way you gave your body, I want to give mine back to you in the cause of the kingdom. So as you make that vow with him, you receive this into your mouth and take it and eat it and eat of his flesh. He says, if you don't eat of my flesh, you'll have no part in me. You'll have no life in you. The kingdom won't be found. So tonight you're going to say, okay, I get that now. I'm going to take part in what your flesh means and what you accomplished and what you gave. And I'm going to follow you. Come on. Make your vow. Make your commitment. Do it personal. I'm not leading that part. You do it. Take it when you're ready. Thank you, Lord. Take your time. Commit yourself to him. Thank Holy Spirit for helping you. You're not too late. You're right on time. We're just taking the bread, Tracy. You're just committing your life to him. It's just a covenant vow. His life for your life. His body for your body. Your body's not your own. Remember, it talks about sexual immorality being a different kind of sin than just stealing or lying because it's a sin against the body. Why? Because your body's not your own. Your body's not your own. Yeah? Your life's not your own. You're going to love not your own life unto death. Help us, Holy Spirit. We just make a covenant exchange. We just give our life to you. John G. Lake, if you know who he was, there was a plague going through the land. It was a whole lot worse than COVID-19. It was bubonic plague. Him and his leaders got in a room and they, you know, you can debate all this you want, all you want, but I'll bet you they'll never go back and change their mind now that things unfolded. But they got in a room and they said, what should we do? Because people are saying, well, we got to use wisdom, etc. And they said, we're going to trust God. They got in a room and they received communion and said, whether we live or whether we die, we do it unto the Lord, but we're not going to bow out. The people need us more now than they've ever needed us before. And they just passed the cup and took the bread and stayed in the midst of the bubonic plague and ministered. And some of them men died and they buried them. Yeah? You can debate that all you want. Well, they should have never. We have far too long made the gospel all about this life instead of the life to come. And we're trying to catch a break today instead of live for his glory tomorrow. Yeah? Wouldn't it be amazing if your life brings glory to his name for eternity? Rather than just catching a break now when you felt like you needed it. spending more time praying for your boss to change or a coworker to line up than you being formed in Christ. Praying more for your spouse to treat you right instead of you just becoming love. Oh, man. Okay. Now that tab that you bent down the other way, bend it up the other way. And keep on pulling and get that lid off of there. We're going to do the blood. In the same manner, he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. I don't know why we would ever get away from this, but this is no small thing. It cost Jesus his life for the Spirit of God to live in us. He had to shed his blood for you and me to be forgiven and judged righteously. Like, this is a big deal. There's no shortcut. Yeah. Like he was the lamb slain. Not the lamb rocked. Not even just the lamb sheared. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And from the foundation of the world, it was going to cost the Son of God death to buy back the children of God. Cost him blood. The blood of the new covenant right here. Man. You want to stay sober and get yourself fired up? You receive communion every day and keep your eyes on these things. And go ahead and take the benefits and the healing. And you were separated so I can forever be joined. You died and I never will. And yeah, and it gets big and exciting. Yeah? But what about this exchange? What about my days of offense, anger, frustration, and nitpicking have ended? And I ain't afraid to fail. I'm more concerned about not stepping out in this thing. Yeah? Y'all ready? When you take this cup, I want you to just the same thought as the body. I'm all in. Whether I'm betrayed, whether I'm treated right, you haven't changed. Purpose hasn't changed. And the reason you're in me hasn't changed. Whether people around me are living or whether somebody dies, the purpose is still the same. So even in a season of mourning, right, for the night, joy comes in the... I am not going to even let physical death steal away vision and purpose and truth. I'm not going to let the loss of the dearest loved ones in my life steal away the reason that he came and lives inside of me. And there's physical loss. It can't be denied. We're not being hypo-spiritual and ignoring truth that way. But we're going to let a higher truth take us to the finish line. And we're not going to come across the finish line lame, hobbling, hurt, or half-hearted. Are you with me?
Yes.
Why? Because he paid for eternal life and we already won.
Amen.
Ain't that something? Wow. So if we already won, why would we let a circumstance make us think we're losing? Let's live and believe we won. Are you with me? So when you take this tonight, here's what I want you to do. Take your vows in your heart to the Lord. Receive what he did for you through this cup. And just give yourself back to him in sincerity. And when you drink this cup, what you're saying is, I'm all in. I ate of the flesh and I'm drinking of the blood. And I love not my own life unto death. Holy Spirit, help me and teach me what that really means every day of my life. Go ahead, make those vows. Pray to him. Talk to him. I'm not leading. I want you to do that. And when you're ready, you just take the cup. And now close in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, King Jesus. Take your time. You don't have to rush. Make sure you do it from the heart. The giving of your life to him. I'm all in. I'm truly all in. Attitudes, motives, purpose. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help us in those ways. Attitude, motive, purpose, expression. That's where Holy Spirit comes in, guys. You're not a self-made Christian. He paid the price to make you what he paid for. Learn to yield to him. And learn to let Holy Spirit have a voice and a way in your life called transformation. Amen? Follow his convictions. When you get second guessing, wow, I'm overreacting about that, or I shouldn't be letting this bother me so bad. Don't think around that and come up with a way to stay the same when you have that conviction. Y'all know what I mean, right? Come on. If you get right down to it, none of us have found ourselves in a negative place without knowing we were heading there. We usually have a chance to turn. You usually have a chance to reroute and go, warning. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to pray in closing over us, okay? I'm going to actually ask Holy Spirit to really, 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 that we be sensitive to his wooings, conviction, and that in the light of this message, there would be a truth that works in us and keeps us on this track. And that we truly tonight did find a best friend. Yeah, he was in me all the time. Yeah? So, Father, I pray right now over this house. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just do a work in us like no time before. Just an unprecedented work. And I don't say that in a hype way. This isn't a rah-rah thing. Just an unprecedented work. I believe with all my heart there was sincere commitments all through this room. And I just thank you for sincere follow-up on your end, that you would hold us to our convictions, you would hold us to our vows, and you would keep us in the light. I pray that no one would get foggy or groggy or blind or deceived. I pray that we would stay clear and always have an out, always have a way of escape, always have an avenue, even of retreat from the things that aren't producing life, and reroute and reestablish and review. I just thank you, Lord God, that truth would burn in our hearts, that our eyes would see clear, and that Jesus would be revealed through our lives like never before. And I just thank you, thank you, thank you for it. I know we would say these are tense times on the earth, but when there's tense times, I believe one as big and amazing and free as you would come out all the more. So I would ask, Lord God, that this would be revealed through your people in a healthy and holy way, not just a party way, not just a carefree way, but a life-changing, redemptive way that brings life to many. We ask for these things and we thank you for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Woo-hoo! I think I'm done.